truth will out.
This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. Truth will out. In other words, the truth will be made known. No matter what the circumstances are, the truth will be made known. Now, sometimes it comes a little late. Napoleon was a great emperor and a great leader of France. And he was moved off to St. Elba, to this island, where he was put into mothballs. And the people who were taking charge of him there were bored being there, because they too had nothing, you know. They too could not go anywhere or do anything, because they had to stay there and watch over him. So they poisoned him. And it was never known that he was poisoned until a few years ago. They were doing research on him and his body, and they took a few strands of his hair, which were still extant, and they found him loaded with poison, and that this is what killed him, not anything else. They thought that he was just getting feeble and what have you, know, but he was poisoned. The truth will out. And so the people, instead of having to spend many, many years in Elba taking care of the former emperor, they had just a few years to take care of him. And then he expired. Now, there's no one to challenge, or no one to be angry at. There's no one to put in prison for doing this dastardly murder. But the truth is known. Now, what benefit is it for us to know that truth? What benefit is it for us to know the truth about anything? However we live our life, we live it from the point of view of whatever truth is for us. What is truth for each of us? How do we look at the experiences we have in life? People say someone was a bad person, and they merely take other people's information about it. But they look at the person and they say, you're not bad. Other people say, they look at a good person, and later it's found out that they're not a good person. Like in a lot of our movies, they like to play up the sordid side of life, and they take this one judge who is on the Supreme Court, and he is not a very nice man. He's a good judge. He's a good judge. But his personal life is not very nice. And he does a lot of bad things. And so they're brought out in the movie, which may or may not be true, but they're brought out in the movie, and they're portrayed in a very hideous, heinous way. And so that truth is out about that person, but is it the truth? You know, did this judge really live a life like that? And we don't know. Now, we look at people like Hitler, and we don't know what his personal life was too much. We know a little bit about it, but not really too much. And Goering, they play him up as being a transvestite, you know, always wanting to wear women's clothing and stuff like that. You didn't know that? Oh, my. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, he enjoyed that very much, and so he surrounded himself with officers who liked to do that. And Goering loved fine things. And so he would go to these countries that he took over, and he would take train loads of art and bring them to his mansion, and he would have them on the walls in his mansion, and he'd enjoy them. And the country that he took them from never did get them back. Now, why didn't they get them back? Because they bombed Goering's houses, you know, and there's nothing left. So all this beautiful art, which was meant for posterity, is now on its posterior, you know, and out of business. But the truth will out. The truth will always be known about everything eventually. And what we think we know as the truth may be the truth, and it may not. So we have to be very careful how we judge. And Ellen would say, Ellen would say,
mind your own reasoning.
Ellen would say,
do not judge.
Don't judge. I'm glad that Ellen has a good secretary here. Don't judge. So, as soon as we start judging, then what happens to us?
Bang.
Then the world starts judging us. And they don't judge us with righteous judgment. They judge us in keeping with what they want to do to us. I was reading a little bit about Zarathustra. And Zarathustra was quite an amazing fellow. And I was amused. I was very much amused. Zarathustra, in one series of statements, was touting reincarnation. And then, in another series of statements, he was touting universal life, that we never die, that we wait 3 days before our spirit leaves our body, but meanwhile, those 3 days, our spirit is still in our body. And after our spirit leaves our body, it has to decide what it's going to do. And so it stands in judgment. It is judged. And so a beautiful maiden comes along and looks at this person and smiles at them. And that's great. They lived a good life. An old hag, a miserable old lady, comes along and looks at this person and says, I am your reflection, and you go to hell, you know, or you go to purgatory, or whatever things that they were talking about in those days. But because whatever your life is, your soul is a reflection of your life. And now this is one of his teachings too. Now I'm sure if we were to delve into Zarathustra, we'd find many other teachings, all saying the same thing or saying something quite different. And it would not be that he's wrong or not be that he's inconsistent. It's just that he has many possibilities that he's considering. And each of these possibilities is as valid as the other. And this is where we make our mistake. We think that there is only one way to look at anything. And there are many ways to look at life and look at the world as there are people, and perhaps even more than that. We are really quite spectacular people. There was an author who wrote a book recently, and in that book he talks about he talks about things that are important to him. He talks about, he talks about whether we should be concerned about other cultures and other ethnic groups and other religions, basically the religions. And he was quoted by Houston Smith, who is quite a prominent writer. He was quoted by Houston Smith as saying that he had stepped into the realm of religious cooperation in a very beautiful way, something of that nature. And the author, having seen Houston Smith's note on his book, he thought to himself, where did I go wrong? Am I giving off that kind of an impression? I feel that we should all recognize every human being on the face of the earth as having an opinion, as having a religion, as having a philosophy. And we should share with each other what our philosophies are. We do not share with each other what our religions are, from the point of view that if we are one religion and we believe in the monotheistic God and so forth, and if you don't believe in that, you're not very good, you're missing the boat. And if you believe in the saints that we believe in, then you are a good person. If you don't, then you're no good. Now, the author, who had been the president of a college and a university up in Canada, and just recently retired, he said that if that is how we look at life, look at religion, and look at each other, we will never know the truth. We will never know what is right for us, because we'll be fighting for our cause instead of listening to the possibilities that there might be another cause out there, equally well stated and perhaps even more impressive to us. So, always be open for the truth. Always be open for wisdom. Always be open for knowledge. And I think we'll hear more from this guy, but he's quite a remarkable fellow. He's written quite a number of books, and he's quite a responsible person. And he is suggesting that instead of comparing ourselves to others and feeling that we found the way, that in, rather than do that, to look at what others have to say and say, that's an interesting way of looking at it too. This is what we do here at the University of Healing. We suggest that you don't look at Jesus and say, that's the only way. You don't look at Buddha and say, that's the only way. You don't look at any great religious leader or philosophical teaching and say, that's it. You look at them and say, that's opening new avenues of my own thinking for me. And I like that. I like that. That's letting me think in new ways that are quite beautiful and quite wonderful. And I like that. Truth will out if we give it a chance. But if we are so tied up that we cannot see across the yard, and we say it is not so, like the man who went out his back door and he couldn't find the barn because the snow had so blinded him, but he had the wisdom to know the snowstorm was coming. And he put a rope from the house to the barn so he could find the barn. But to all appearances, the barn wasn't there. And when he got in the middle, neither the house nor the barn were there. And if he became befuddled, he would have been lost. Just 100 feet this way or that way from his barn or his house. And this is what we do. We become befuddled because we are so sure that what we think is right and what we're doing is right. Rather than do that, just let the truth come out and listen to what other people have to say. Don't accept what they say or don't deny it. Just listen and say, that's an interesting approach. And when you do, the doors will open up for all the truth come your way. Well, you have a lovely day, and it's nice to share with you.
Thank you.